Well, this week marks 1 year since the Liberal Party's insurrection, which saw Malcolm Turnbull dispatched and Scott Morrison emerge as Prime Minister after two bitter leadership votes. While the government survived the bloodletting with a surprise victory at the May election, a new book explores the origins of that political war. David Crowe is the Chief Political Correspondent for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. He's also one of our regular political commentators. You'll know his voice well. His new book is called Venom, Vendettas, Betrayals, and the Price of Power. It could almost be about the Vatican. Welcome back to breakfast, David.
Morning, Hamish.
What a title.
Yeah. I mean, look, I thought I would sum up in that title the personal nature of the political bastardry and brutality that we've seen, not just a year ago this week, but in the years leading up to that. I mean, there were a lot of causative factors, and I wanted to, after seeing what happened over the last couple of years, I really wanted to write a book that brought together and pin down who did what when to explain, I guess, the events and to uncover more about just what's happened to politics in Australia these days.
I think one of the things that you do in probably greater detail and more substantively than I've read anywhere else is examine the degree to which Scott Morrison and his supporters played a stronger role, a stronger hand in plotting this whole thing than what was flagged at the time. And you do essentially reveal some new detail there.
Yes, because there was a meeting in the week of the leadership change a year ago where the Morrison crew were going through the numbers that they had. And on their list, they were going through names where one of Malcolm Turnbull's strongest allies, Craig Laundy, thought that those people were Turnbull supporters. And the Morrison camp was sure that those people who were loyal to Morrison had actually voted for Peter Dutton in that first challenge. This had been a way of arranging the votes. Now, when that meeting was held, Craig Laundy was listening to Stuart Robert go through the names, and he said, look, no, that's a Turnbull supporter you're talking about there. And Stuart Roberts said words to the effect of, well, look, we haven't always been on the same side here. Craig Laundy left that meeting as soon as he could. He was shocked, and he walked back to the Prime Minister's office and spoke to his friends there and said, look, we've been played. And that was a critical moment that sort of summed up the way in which the numbers were all being manipulated in a sense. Now, to look at it from the point of view of the Scott Morrison camp, they could see where things were going. They had to make a pragmatic decision. There was a moment where Scott Morrison was a supporter of Malcolm Turnbull in public, but he also knew that he had to be ready to be a replacement. And that was the reality of the brutal politics of that week. But it did mean that Dutton got completely played.
And interestingly, you have an account of Scott Morrison's role during the deposing of Tony Abbott that provided essentially a model, you're saying, for what he then did in this circumstance too.
There was an echo of history because in 2015, there was a lot of bad blood between Tony Abbott and Scott Morrison because Scott Morrison voted for Tony Abbott, but all the rest of his allies voted for Malcolm Turnbull because they knew that Scott Morrison was going to be the Treasurer in a Turnbull government, or they knew that was a very strong possibility. So that playing of the situation had been witnessed in 2015. So that's why when Craig Laundy left that meeting and said to a couple of others in the Prime Minister's office, we've been played, there wasn't a great deal of surprise because they'd seen Scott Morrison's form in the past. Now, to my mind, this means that we've got a Prime Minister who is very crafty with the day-to-day politics. In some senses, he outplayed others in the politics of that situation over the long term. That's not something that people should be shocked at, in a sense, because I guess a lot of people already know that these are the political games that are played in Canberra.
And I guess another interesting dimension to this that you explore is Scott Morrison's core supporters, who they were, how they met. Stuart Robert, Alex Hawke, Steve Irons. And they had originally been meeting in Bible study sessions, effectively. These were regular Bible meetings. And so a lot of people had dismissed them, not taken them seriously. But actually, when it came to the crunch, there emerged a degree of loyalty amongst this cohort that maybe didn't exist amongst other factions and small groupings?
When you look at the core support group for various contenders, Peter Dutton had a stronger core support. It was about twice the size of Scott Morrison's group. But Scott Morrison's group are very loyal and they're very disciplined. They've all come, or they all came into Parliament in the same year, 2007, and they've stuck together all through that. And they worked together in 2015. In fact, some of them, Stuart Robert was quite involved in the 2009 change when Tony Abbott replaced Malcolm Turnbull. So they'd been through these kind of experiences before, and they had stuck together. People dismiss them. Within the party room dismissed them as the prayer group because they did meet every week for Bible study and prayer readings. But I don't think that they're a group to be dismissed. The loyalty there is actually something that gave them a big advantage. And I think one of the interesting parts of the story over the last couple of years is that some of the people who backed Malcolm Turnbull in 2015 drifted away from him. Now, that was something that happened on their side. That wasn't because of anything Scott Morrison did or even anything that Peter Dutton did. There was a drifting away from Malcolm Turnbull among his own supporters, and that's something that is an interesting contrast because Scott Morrison's group were so loyal.
And in speaking about that, Matthias Cormann, if he hadn't gone away from Malcolm Turnbull, could Turnbull have survived?
Survived in the short term, possibly. It's very hard to know because the numbers, when they were finally counted on that Friday, showed that if Matthias Cormann, Michaela Cash and Mitch Fifield had not moved, then the numbers would have been there for Malcolm Turnbull. Now, some of that support was very soft for Malcolm Turnbull and it could have been eroded over time. The funny thing about that whole process is that it was kind of in Peter Dutton's interest to move as fast as possible. The longer it took, the more time there was for Scott Morrison to build up his numbers. So the outcome may yet have been the fall of the Prime Minister because it had got to a point where there was almost no rescue possible. But one of the really crucial things here is that it's fascinating when you look back at those cabinet ministers, and I think this is a problem in politics, this sort of washing the hands and waving away responsibility. They all talked as if they were looking at an earthquake in the distance. They were actually themselves the stampede. And that certainly applied to Matthias Cormann, Michaela Cash and Mitch Fifield because history would be different if they had acted differently. It was a desertion of the Prime Minister by members of the executive, by the ministers.
You include a detail in the book, an anecdote from former Treasurer Joe Hockey, his view of Scott Morrison as being, in his words, like Pac-Man, a voracious blob that kept devouring players in a computer game, a pretty unfavourable description of our PM. Have you spoken with Scott Morrison about his perspective on all of this, his version of events?
No, he's very reluctant to talk about any of these things. And when I ask him in various interviews, he won't go there. I mean, his attitude is to put that behind the government and to not engage in the detail of what happened. So that's the strategic decision he's made about how to handle all of this. That Joe Hockey comment, I thought, I remember it at the time from 2015. I'd heard it at that time and I asked Joe Hockey about it again later. And it was so revealing because Joe Hockey felt that Scott Morrison had been undermining him as Treasurer during the Abbott government. And that's an example, I think, of the way in which bad blood at one phase of a government can actually continue over some years. And I think that's why one of the questions about what we've got happening today is, have they really settled down? Can we expect this government to be more unified? I think it's interesting that some of the people who are now members of the party room are new, 25%, I think, or so from the election. So there's been this refresh of the team. It could mean that they move on from some of those hatreds and some of those personal animosities and rivalries, but it's hard to tell. You know, any issue can come up and split that party room and create more instability.
Interestingly, you paint a picture of Scott Morrison as a man in this party that's not particularly loved or hated. Is he more loved now since the election victory? Is there greater affection?
Yes, I think there is. I think that you can see that, and in a sense, it also comes back to that point about new MPs coming in. I think that One thing we've got to look at is a kind of an echo of 1996. A lot of the MPs who came in 96 under John Howard became intensely loyal to John Howard. They brought him to power, or he brought them into Parliament. And that is also the case with some of the MPs who've now come in 2019. I thought it was interesting listening to the first speeches of some of those new Liberal members, where they echoed some of Scott Morrison's language about the quiet Australians. That is their theme. They're all together now as winners from the 2019 election. Now, does that mean that they will stay loyal to him and be able to guard him against any challenges or any threats to his authority in the future? Well, I think that remains to be seen. I don't predict stability, because I've lived through and watched the last decade of turmoil in Australian politics.
Well, we will be speaking to you regularly here on RN Breakfast for more of it. David Crowe, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Hamish.
David Crowe is the Chief Political Correspondent with the SMH and the Melbourne Age. His new book, Venom, Vendettas, Betrayals and the Price of Power, is published by HarperCollins.